Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And instead of our usual fare of good, bad, and crazy martinis, with tomorrow being Thanksgiving Day and hopefully most of us having the chance to spend the day with loved ones and enjoying an excellent meal, hopefully avoiding too many political discussions, particularly if there's a difference of opinions. We like to always use this day on the Three Martini Lunch to point out the things for which we are politically thankful over the past year. Jim, this has been a fairly difficult year to be thankful for a ton of stuff unless you think more deeply about it. So we've been able to do that, and we each have three different things that we'd like to talk about. So go ahead, kick it off with your first one.
First of all, Greg, I feel like I should acknowledge what I am not thankful for. As you listen to this, I am on Interstate 95 heading north, and there are a lot of people in front of me. And despite the fact that every morning I tweet out, please get out of the left lane, no one listens to me. So I'm not thankful for that. So hopefully you're having a better day before Thanksgiving than I am. More seriously, I am thankful this year for Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch. And also, I'm very thankful for all the times I've written to him. I've written about it, referred to him as Rob Gorsuch for some reason, and I've not gotten any court cases against me. Let's face it, as you acknowledge, for many conservatives, this has been a challenging year. President Trump accidentally revealed sensitive information to Russian visitors in the Oval Office. He praised the good people on both sides at the Charlottesville protest and riot. He missed the deadline to implement sanctions on Russia that passed Congress with overwhelming bipartisan majorities. And he declared that he did not know that Category 5 hurricanes existed. But every time the Trump administration seems like it's going to be too much to bear, but we have Neil Gorsuch. And it's the one thing that Trump has done that makes just about every conservative happy. It is indisputably a major consequence of the 2016 election. And depending on how Supreme Court cases shake out in the coming years, it may turn out to be one of the most consequential one of the biggest consequences of the 2016 election. So, and nothing we have seen indicates that there's any reason to change our opinion of Neil Gorsuch. He seems like a first-rate jurist and exactly the kind of guy we'd like to see on the court. An originalist, but also one who writes with great clarity, with great almost flair, you could say, for legal thinking. An ability to kind of relate. You don't have to have 14 law degrees to understand his arguments. Exactly what we'd like to see. And well, if we had the ability to clone him, we might want to have many more judges like him. Overall, most of the judges appointed by the President Trump have been really good so far this year. And in an administration where a lot of things have gone wrong, this is a shining star on the Trump administration resume so far.
That's an excellent point. And, you know, you see this on Twitter and other places a lot, Jim, when people respond to craziness from the left. This is why you got Trump. The Supreme Court vacancy might very well be one of the biggest reasons that you got Trump, because it wasn't a theoretical issue. What if one of the Republicans retires or dies? Hillary Clinton would have the chance to replace this person. No, this was Antonin Scalia, one of the most conservative and most respected and brilliant jurists on the right that we've ever seen. He passes away. This seat is vacant. And if Hillary Clinton wins, she's going to appoint someone that's going to make it a liberal majority, perhaps for a very, very long time. As much as I generally don't give a ton of credit to Mitch McConnell, he did two things here that made this very possible. Number one, he refused to hold confirmation hearings on Merrick Garland, which was very controversial. He took a lot of heat for that, but he stuck with it, saying that we're so far along in the 2016 campaign process, the right thing to do is to allow the winner of this year's election to make that choice. Had the party situation been flipped and had a Republican still been in there, I'm guessing we might not have liked the Democrats doing that. I'm sure we wouldn't have. But that's the way it worked out. And we did get a conservative jurist. And secondly, McConnell obviously did what he had to do to scrap the filibuster when the Democrats made it clear that whether it's because they thought this was Garland's seat to win or to be confirmed for, or they just don't like Trump, they made it clear they weren't going to allow an up or down vote on this. So very good choice there. That's not my official one, though. I'm thankful for Mad Dog Mattis heading up the Pentagon. This is a guy who, of course, we had a lot of jokes about pleading with people with tears in his eyes. And then before Memorial Day, he was asked by John Dickerson of CBS, what keeps you up at night? And he says, nothing. I keep other people up at night. And very quietly this year, Jim Mattis made some significant changes both in strategy and in how we fight ISIS and other developments at the Pentagon. And lo and behold, even though the media hardly cared, ISIS has been defeated for the most part in Iraq and Syria. They got rooted out of Mosul. They got rooted out of Raqqa. They're basically in tiny little fledgling pockets in that region. They're obviously still a menace in terms of ideology back into Europe and to the West, and they still have decent strongholds in places like Libya and so forth. But when we were told a couple of years ago this is going to take a really long time to decimate ISIS as a military force in Iraq and Syria, credit here, to, I guess, to President Trump as well for advising that this could be done a whole lot faster. Mattis took the baton and ran with it. For the most part, we didn't do the fighting. We obviously provided critical support. But the locals did a much better job against the radicals this time. And ISIS is basically in tatters as a military force. I don't know if he deserves all the credit for it, but Jim Mattis running the Pentagon is a good thing, and I'm thankful for it.
It's a really good pick, Greg. Now I'm feeling slightly jealous. A little bit lighter note, somewhat lighter note for my next selection, although I think it fits. I'm going to go with a little bit of an odd phrasing here, but hopefully it makes sense. Greg, I am thankful for better people than Colin Kaepernick. And that seems, you know, a little odd. You may recall that last week GQ named Colin Kaepernick one of their men of the year. And it's pretty fascinating that they chose him from this year, not last year, when he's managed to earn his accolade from shifting from not standing to not playing. And I can only imagine how great he would be if he was not speaking as well. Anyway, I just thought there were a lot of other better men and women who deserve that kind of accolades and praise. I'll just rattle off a couple of them that came to mind this morning. One was Houston Texans star J.J. Watt, who raised $37 million for hurricane victims. That's just if you wanted to pick an NFL player. I think the guy who shot the Texas church shooter, Stephen Williford, he's the guy who lives near the church, grabbed his own gun, ran out of the house barefoot to confront the gunman, and ended up, I believe, shooting him. They're not 100% sure he was responsible for killing him or whether he merely wounded him, but I think it was undoubtedly an act of great courage, made a difference and prevented him from being able to go on to kill other people. I love this exchange we had with CNN where they asked, what were you thinking at the time? And he said, nothing, get him. And they said, well, why? He says, because that's what you do. You chase a bad guy, which, you know, I think a greater, it's tough to find a better example of just simple, commonplace American heroism than this man. So I hope he gets a good deal of the accolades. And finally, U.S. Capitol Police officers David Bailey and Crystal Griner, who prevented a massacre on that baseball field of the Republican members of Congress practicing in Alexandria. We don't lack for heroes in our lives. We just happen to have some media voices that pick really rotten people to celebrate instead of the ones who truly deserve it. And so my hat is off to them, and I am thankful for them because the world is a better place because of them.
Those are excellent choices. And now I'm feeling like I perhaps stumbled a little bit along the way. You know what I love in addition to everything else that Stephen Williford did? I think he only did a couple of interviews. In a situation like this, you could really parlay this into making yourself a media star, perhaps get a book deal out of it. Who knows? We've certainly seen people get much more FaceTime, and that's not to denigrate them. They've got an amazing story to tell, and a lot of people want to ask him about it and hear about it. But the humility of this guy, in addition to his obvious courage, was just amazing in that whole situation. And I'm going to jump off on your last nominees there with the Capitol Hill police officers. It's sad that this even has to be something you're thankful for because you almost take it for granted. But I'm thankful that no Republicans in Congress were actually killed this year. We've talked about it in the past couple of weeks here. I know you wrote about it in The Jolt last week, that it could have happened on a number of different occasions. There was the shooting at the Republican congressional baseball practice. Steve Scalise darn near was killed. He was severely wounded. Thankfully, he's on the mend and back on the job now. There were other staffers that were hit, and as far as I know, they're on the mend as well, and certainly other members of Congress could have been hit there if not for the heroism of the officers. Then there was Congressman Kustoff in Tennessee, who was run off the road by an irate Democrat in his district because he voted for the House version of the health care bill. And then, of course, there was Rand Paul, potentially for political reasons, being attacked in a blindsided way while he was cutting his grass in Kentucky by his whack job neighbor. So a lot of these situations could have been a whole lot worse. Thankfully, there were heroes at the ball field, and thankfully things didn't escalate even worse for the other two examples. The violence happening in politics right now, from Antifa on the down to these individual assaults, is truly troubling. America needs a breather, a vacation, something to stop investing everything we have in political animosity here. But the fact that these Republicans look like they're all going to be okay is something to be very thankful for.
That is another fine choice. And so, you know, kind of going into our you know, this is not the directions or the way we expected the year to play out. I'm going to say I'm thankful for another group of people who exhibited, I think, a different kind of courage, but a worthy one. I'm thankful that so many women have been mistreated in their workplaces, are coming forward and have the courage to confront those who have abused their power. This is, you know, a lot of different places in the country and across the political spectrum, whether it's Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey in Hollywood, Bill O'Reilly, Mark Halperin here in D.C., lots of allegations in state capitals and things like that. Look, there are a lot of good men in this world and who would never think of treating women in that manner. I don't like this idea that all men would get tarred with a broad brush of this kind of awful behavior. I think the best way to prevent that is to hold the actual perpetrators accountable. And it sounds like for a very long time, these were more or less open secrets, and that there really was no real sense of accountability. A couple of weeks ago, I wrote about the idea that modern women and our modern sensibilities have been left, that when you're treated terribly by your boss, when your boss is attempting to extort sexual favors from you or behaving utterly inappropriately, you're supposed to turn to the human resources department. And I think it's just now abundantly clear that in case after case, the human resources department has failed in its duty to protect women in the workplace. And in fact, most likely, perhaps it's because the person they're investigating is in charge of the human resources department, or is, you know, gets their budget from the guy and things like that. So I think there's been a massive failure of this, that this has been this kind of code of silence or a conspiracy of silence. There's been a great deal of enabling, particularly some of the horror stories coming out of places like the Weinstein Company and things like that. And hopefully this era is coming to an end. So to everyone out there who's ever had to come out and discuss something that's been really hurtful and that a memory that they never want to relive but has done it to prevent somebody from doing something terrible again, I salute you and I am thankful, because even though it's probably a difficult time, it is an effort to make the world a better place.
Jim,
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
All right. Well, let me give you one more. It's not nearly as emotional, but I think it's also one that folks are a lot very gratified about. And that's a couple of things that the Trump administration's been able to do unilaterally, because as we all know, getting major legislation through Congress has been a little bit of a chore this year. But the president has done what he can within the powers that he has to deal with burdensome regulations, both in terms of businesses directly and the different hoops they have to jump through to file with the IRS and meet government compliance standards and all sorts of other things that just gobble up time and money and resources and are just a pain in the neck. And then you've got Scott Pruitt over at the EPA rolling back different Obama-era rules imposed through the bureaucratic state that we have denounced on a number of occasions, including the Waters of the United States rule, which is supposed to refer to navigable waters. And the Obama administration basically made it equal to puddles on your property, meaning the government can do whatever it wants pretty much anywhere. There's also the supposed Clean Power Plan, which was basically a major crackdown on industry. And then, of course, he was able to back out of the Paris Climate Accord, which he promised to do. So we'll see ultimately what the benefit of that is. Just listening to different interviews with business owners around the country, it seems to be a big plus for them. So excellent job on those particular issues. And hopefully in the next year, although I'm not holding my breath, we'll actually get some major legislation on some of the other big promises too.
They said by Thanksgiving, right? No pressure. But yes, here's hoping, Greg.
Jim, happy Thanksgiving. Have a great time with your family, and we'll talk again on Friday.
You too, Greg. I will talk to you Friday.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great Thanksgiving, everyone, and please join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.